Hello, welcome to Icon Couch, the best place to chill your friends and get your gaming goodness each and every Monday. My name's John Blight. Join me on the couch this week. Actually, hold it.
Hey, John, excited to be here and excited to answer the question, where's Hollow Knight Silksong? And the answer is, we don't know. Dead. Well, I mean, technically we do know. It's in Adelaide somewhere.
That's
when
it's
coming, we don't
know. Also here, very much.
I think the fact that Fallout 4 has increased its sales by like 7,500% next to the TV show is just a testament to these people need to start making good TV shows.
Yes, the game industry.biz, right? Sales of Fallout games have shot up across Europe, with Fallout 4 reclaiming number one spot. 2015 game sales rose 7,500% week on week across Europe. This is GSD data that tracks digital game sales across all European markets and physical sales across all major European countries, including UK, France, Germany, Italy, and Spain. This is due to some heavy discounting on the games in the Fallout franchise across all platforms. It's also designed to tie in with the Fallout TV show, which has proven to be a smash hit on Amazon Prime. My question for this, and I saw Jeff Grubb tweet this straight up question, which I think is a very good basic question to answer, is for people who did dive into playing and wanting to buy the Fallout games, what is it about watching that show that makes you want to play the games?
Oh, I'm into this world, you know, into the aesthetic. I want to run around my wasteland with ghouls and get my fingers chopped off.
It's nothing like the TV show.
Nothing like the TV show.
I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. Watching the TV show, I did sit there going, I could play New Vegas again. That'd be kind of fucking good.
All of New Vegas again.
Well, I didn't say the word all. I just said,
you mean
I could
play 4 hours, get your fix, and fuck off.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. I've got it on my Steam. Like, it's not like I'm paying for it. Like, I've got all the games.
Or it's on Game Pass. I mean, if it...
Yeah.
That's a funny side note. My brother finished it the other day and said, hey, at the end of the show, I assume that shot of the town or whatever is supposed to mean something, because he hasn't played the games. So it's funny, like, to think, because it's funny to get perspective sometimes if my parents or brother or someone, like, you know, a normie watches these, like, video game-based shows, and they ask questions. I'm like, this is, like, what it feels like. This is the perspective from the outsider, you know. It was funny hearing my parents' thoughts on Last of Us, which it's like that sort of stuff. I'm like, it's from New Vegas. What's that mean? I guess you, nothing, really. It's, you know what I mean? Like, it's funny sometimes, these little things. Because it is, like, the show ends, like, on a clear, like, dun, dun, dun. But if you don't know what it means, it's like, what the fuck does that shot mean, really? So, anyway, weird. So you haven't brought the games, is what you're saying? We haven't dived in and played them?
I have not, no.
Yeah. No. That's good. You won't now. I feel like you've escaped the... It's weird, because as much as I love that Twisted Metal show, I didn't boot up Twisted Metal.
Well, it's kind of hard for you to do that.
Why?
What Twisted Metal are you going to boot up?
There's two of them on PlayStation 5 if I want them right now.
Do you have to pay for them?
No.
PS Plus.
Yeah, correct.
Oh. Yeah.
But the show is so different to the games, I don't think you would have gotten the... And you know it's so far from the games, you would have been like...
Also,
this
did
isn't
you...
scratch that itch.
Do you personally have a great connection with Twisted Metal?
I love... Clown guy, Samoa Joe.
Sweet Tooth, isn't it? Or
yep, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that character. What are you talking about?
No, I don't. No, I don't. You see, I think that's
love
your
love him so much, I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also think the Twisted Metal suffered from where it was played, like the streaming services that it was on. I think it's suffered.
Why do you hate Stan?
Because, I think this is just a Kieran problem, because in a lot of other places, you know. Yeah. I mean,
I haven't seen a reaction to Twisted Metal that we did have for both The Last of Us and for
that's fair.
Fallout.
Obviously.
Is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I feel like one's a lot bigger of a franchise than IP. And
they both
No, Kieran's got a point. Obviously, Last of Us released on HBO Max and then binge here in Australia. Massive marketing. And then Fallout is on Amazon Prime, or Prime Video, and it seems to be marketed on every single conceivable gaming website, except ExposureNetwork.com. on buses and shit. So, I mean, and Twisted Metal, it's on Stan.
It was at the Game Awards. Peacock, which is what the fuck you're talking about. Like, it was at the Game Awards. The Game Awards.
But I hear people hated when those things were announced at the Game Awards, so.
Okay.
I think people got very angry about people from Twisted Metal being at the Game Awards.
Who doesn't love Will Arnett?
Drunkenly angry.
So DreamHack's coming up this weekend.
Woo!
Yeah.
Karen's going.
Yeah.
Ash isn't going.
No.
No.
So we're talking about before we start recording. So get ready, trainers. Pokemon Go is heading to DreamHack Melbourne 2024 in a big way, right? It's the official DreamHack website. Here's what you/I can look forward to at this year's festival. Strap in, Karen. A Pokemon Go booth. That's right, motherfucker. A whole booth. DreamHack Pokestops. Lure modules that will be able to attract unknown that I hope spell out DreamHack, motherfucker. Timed research. Timed research leading to an encounter with Pikachu.
Please, wearing a party I need hat. You to tweet out DreamHack motherfucker with unknowns. It doesn't even need to be from the game. Just find the letters. Surely there's an unknown font, you know?
Yeah, maybe. Half Stardust cost for trades, giveaways, and more. So that's why I'm going. What are you looking forward to, Cam? You seen anything?
Watch some eSports, mate. I'm trying to toss up when I drive up Friday or Saturday, because there is the Trash Taste podcast Friday night, and I don't mind the Trash Taste, but Trash Taste podcast. It's got a Joey the Anime Man Gant and Sea Dog VA. It's a fairly large podcast in the anime space, and then also just in the general gaming space and Twitch space. They are live there Friday night. Maybe I'll come and then I can go watch that, or maybe have dinner with Dylan or some shit. I don't know. But then Saturday. I can't wait to just cruise around, watch some CS:GO, watch some League of Legends, and just check out a bunch of random esports and events that's going on.
Yeah, I'm excited. I haven't been to a DreamHack before. I haven't actually been to a gaming
esports
event before.
Like, you didn't even go to the MEO, right? You didn't go to the
I haven't been to any. So I'm looking forward to watching a bit of especially League live. Now, I've watched a little bit of esports.
Are you worried about getting sucked back in? If you go watch League.
No, and I'll tell you why.
You get the environment of all these people.
I'll tell you why. Let me tell you why, Ash. Let me boil it down this way. I spend too many fucking hours working on explosionnetwork.com, and I'm a manager at a fucking big business, and somehow I have too many. There's not enough hours in my life, is the answer to your question.
I mean, you know, I don't think that's how addiction works, you know. I think people
who relapse
just find time to do the thing.
No, incorrect.
They just find time to do cocaine.
No.
What?
They just work it in to their weekly schedule.
I feel like that's completely different, though, because if you used to like fall back into a being cocaine addict, you're just like being the toilets at work, like sniffing it up. But I can't go into the toilets at work and just fucking inject some fucking, QER into my life, like
playing some League while you're doing other things. Yeah.
It requires like a bit more of a time.
You don't think you can do it on your ROG deck? You play League.
I think that'd be a horrible way to play.
That'd League be so bad. That'd be
a terrible way to play League of Legends.
That'd be garbanzo. That'd be really bad.
It would be garbanzo.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I think it's cool to jump into, even if like say for watching CS:GO. If you've barely played CS:GO, or if you haven't watched CS:GO, I think it's really fun just to.
I can watch CS:GO. I can't play. I'm never going to play CS:GO because it's fucking. Yeah. I'm trash.
But it's nice to jump into the arena environments,
Yeah, I mean an arena environment. That's what I'm...
It's very fun. It's you know, you get behind different teams. You get the storylines built by the casters. You get to see the casters in action mid-round. Yeah, no, it's a great environment to be in, and the way they set it up at the arena is very fun.
Mm.
Also, Artist Alley is great. And it's one of the things I wish like PAX had a better version, a better Artist Alley, because DreamHack's Artist Alley is very, very good.
Yeah, so if you have a look at the, if you want to look online, if anyone, I assume tickets are still available. You got your, so you got your main stage, you got your Artist Alley, ESL Challenger stage. There's two Artist Alleys actually. Well, it's a really big.
But it's just stage. One very it's long one, hallway.
It curves around the entire arena.
Yeah,
because obviously it's in Margaret Court Arena, which
big
isn't like a convention hall. It's a
it's a sports area.
Yes.
So what they do is they split the main arena into two, and have two different screens on either side or two different stages on each side. Generally, they only have one of them playing esports, and then the other one is just like a content creator panelist. Or
now the Pokemon Go stage is right near Artist Alley, is all I'm going to say. You know, all
the booth, yeah,
the Pokemon Go booth. It's right near there. So we're good. Is what I'm saying, Karen. We can loop back. You know.
Constantly. So you can keep making trades with other people.
Now, if we want to find somewhere to fucking mate, point
if,
and laugh
if
at
I,
people,
if we
booth
get
number
if,
28 is where the kick people are.
If we are... If I'm hanging out with you again and I witness you like fucking stealing somebody's Lugia or some shit again...
Yeah, it's, why not? Yeah. That's what I do, man.
Some poor kids.
Yeah.
Do you want a Squirtle?
Now he was on fucking cocaine. good shit. Anyway, yeah, looking forward to it. You jealous, Ash?
Yeah, super jealous.
You should be. Yeah, because you can't catch this Pikachu of hat. Like,
yeah. What am I gonna do?
No, Ash would be pissed if there was like a Marvel Snap booth. If there was a Marvel Snap booth,
and they had like an exclusive card you could get there. How annoyed would you be?
That would be pretty annoying. There's plenty of cards I haven't got, so I mean.
Yeah. That's the thing, right? If I got the card, I'd be the like, do I use it for myself in a game I don't play, or do I send it to Ash for him to input the code into the game?
Mm. Now, wait until that. Remember that they're bringing out that Pokemon trading card game, the mobile version?
Oh, God.
That's gonna be some acid in my veins.
Oh yeah,
that's gonna be some.
I'd rather play League.
Fucking get some of that cardboard crack in my mobile phone, you know.
So yeah, there's still tickets available. $99 the 3-day pass, or $45 to a 1-day attendance.
Mm.
Assuming
Pokemon booth.
They don't all sell out in the 9 hours between us recording this and it going live.
Well, thereafter, if you're listening to it after Monday morning.
Yeah, that's true.
Which could be a thing. All right, one thing I played, and we'll have a review up, actually, not by the time you listen to this, but probably later, hopefully, because I've got about an hour left of it, to be honest, but I'll talk about it now. Harold Halibut. Fucking, what a fucking name. So this is the game in which it was made entirely from clay.
It's all stop motion.
Every object in the game, everything in the environment, every character, it's all claymation, stop motion, crafted stuff. It has an utterly unique style. It's going to be completely too boring for some people. And for others like myself, I think the mundanity of some of its gameplay elements is just completely overridden by a sense of like being able to continually enjoy the fact that this was made from like people's hands in a way that I don't think any video game has ever been before. So the story and the setup for this is that you play as Harold, Harold Halibut. You are on a ship, which I can't remember the name of, but it doesn't really matter. And you were born on this ship. It's about 250 years after this ship was sent up into outer space, because humans thought that the Cold War was basically going to be the end of all planet on Earth. All life on Earth. So they send the ship off, and it like crash lands on another into the ocean on another planet, and it's just been there forever. They're just people living their lives basically on this little system. And a company called All Water has connected a bunch of like tubes that allow people to travel through different parts and segments of the ship. And you are basically a glorified janitor to a degree. You do a lot of very mundane tasks for people around the ship. You work as like an assistant for a scientist, and other than that, people ask you to help out with bits and bobs. I mean, Harold is written and performed as a very, like, you know, he's the butt of a lot of people's jokes, just happy to help out. But you know, he's just doing his thing. I mean, a lot of the game, I guess, in the world that's created, I think is supposed to show just how, you know, even if these people have all crash landed in the middle of nowhere in this planet 250 years later, all the people that born on it, they're still just living out very mundane, normal lives that they would have been having on Earth, even if they didn't leave. But here we are. The twist, I guess, if you want to call it that, is that, well, I guess there's three. Firstly, the game, like after the first hour or so, they reveal them all, which is firstly, they get notice of a message from Earth. And literally the message is like someone being like, oh, hello, insert ship name, I can't remember. Just to let you know, so-and-so from Earth here. We didn't all die. Hope you're doing all right. If anyone's still out there on that ship and you can come back, yeah, it's all good. You can come back. It's all good. And they're like, yeah, we can't leave. We're fucking trapped here in the middle of the ocean. And then quickly after that, it's revealed that the ship's running out of energy. And it has, I think it sets a timer of like 80-odd days at the time, like 80-odd days before the ship runs out of energy and like everyone dies. They basically need to leave. So a bunch of people get, hey, everyone come up with cool ideas that we can get this ship out of the fucking water and, you know, back to Earth maybe. And then the third one is that when Harold is cleaning out a filter in the ship's tank system, he discovers like an alien life form in there. So that's the big, like, if you look at the game's key art, it has like the alien looking at him through the ship's window or whatever. So from there, it's a mix of, I guess, it's 100% just a narrative based game. It has a lot of, I won't play around the stuff that would turn people off. It is a lot of just walking to somewhere on the ship, on the other side of the ship, talking to a character. They say, hey, take this thing back to pretty much where the fuck you just came from. So it's a lot of walking somewhere, going there, talking to someone, come back. Blah, blah, blah. The biggest downfall of this game is that, unlike other more experienced developers, because this is the first game from Slow Bros, they didn't add in any like sort of puzzles or, you know, anything that you would expect from this genre along the way to keep people engaged in the more video gamey element. It definitely feels like more of a walk, that word everyone loves to word use, walking simulator. But those games are usually more of, you know, first person view and stuff like that, where you just whereas this is presented in a like sort of side on, as in you're looking into a sort of a, like, it's a fucking, what's the word you do? Like a dollhouse sort of thing. You're like looking in this world. But for all of that, and as mundane as it can be at times. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, would sort of be like a cross section. For as mundane as it can be at times, and the wandering backwards and forwards, I just couldn't, like, I just, for whatever reason, it definitely scratches a particular itch for me, which is, it at times feels like both, and everything I'm about to say is a positive. It feels like something that would be created by like the Wallace and Gromit people, and also feels like it's something that could have been created in Dreams. And I think that is in part of its like that handmade feel to the characters and everything in the world, but also just because it feels like such a very like, it just doesn't feel like a story or something I've really played at all and anything else. It just feels like it just has a lot of hands involved in telling it, not setting out to make a video game, which is, I guess, is the thing. Like, if this was a movie and it had this style and everything, it would sort of be better and probably more successful because people would maybe grasp onto it a bit more. But because it's a video game and it doesn't have enough video gamey things, maybe that might make people not want to grab onto it. And obviously, because it's a video game, it took them like nearly 10 years to make, I think, that the price isn't like super low or anything, and that's going to be a barrier of entry as well. But yeah, I don't know. It's a hard one to like fully say, hey, you should definitely check this out, because I don't think it's going to be for everyone. And I have a lot of caveats with it. And I could fully see in a world where someone might be like, yeah, this is one of the most boring things I've played this year. But I'm also like, yeah, I don't disagree. It can be boring, but like, I don't really mind that. It's like sort of the world I'm in with it. But yeah, even if you loved it or hated it, I feel like if you played it, it would be impossible not to say that it's like unique. It looks super unique. It feels super unique. And it's, I think the biggest disappointment is the fact that in the game, there is not a like making of documentary or some shit. Cause I think that's the number one, like that's the thing I want. Like I just want like an hour long making of this game featurette. So, you know, if someone, one of the many video game documentary YouTube channels and stuff out there want to go make that their next project, I would love to know more about the painstaking detail and process it went to make this. And not that it would be like anything else you haven't sort of seen before, because I've watched making obs about stop motion movies, but it's just the fact that they did all this and then took those elements into a video game atmosphere. It's just, yeah. That hasn't been done before, so yeah. All right, look for a full review. Honestly, at this stage, I have no idea what score I'm going to give it. It's so weird, but yeah. Harold Halibut. Now, you were slightly intrigued by this one, Ash. So I don't know how are you feeling about it?
Yeah. How big's the game?
Playtime?
No. File wise.
Oh, I actually don't know. I haven't looked. I don't remember it being small. If that's the
question. I mean, because that was the thing I kept mentioning.
Yeah,
I feel like it's something I'm going to be picking up anytime soon.
No, I think maybe if it's on sale or something like that. Because
I mean, it's on Game Pass, so.
Is it? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Maybe you just try it the quick. I think I'm 51 about
gigs. So I mean, that's not too bad.
Not too bad. I think I'm about 15, 16 hours into it nearly, and I've probably just about to finish it. But also, to be fair, I reckon you could finish this game in like 5-6 hours. I have like done every side quest that the game's asked me, because I actually really like just talking to the characters. Everyone's voice acted very well and like all that sort of stuff. So I don't know. It's a weird one. All right. What the fuck did I have next? Because I jumped all over the show. Wolf Among Us 2. Let's do that. Wolf Among Us 2 resurfaces, Kieran. After last year's delay with 4 new images, Eurogamer writes, Telltale's long in the works, The Wolf Among Us 2 has resurfaced with new screenshots following last year's delay. The Wolf Among Us 2, again set in the world of Bill Willingham's Fables comics, was originally announced back in 2017, but development halted when Telltale's shut down its stores the following year. This appeared to be the end for the sequel in 2019, brought the news Telltale was being resurrected under new management. A surprise development that would eventually see The Wolf Among Us 2 re-announced. Do you reckon this game's actually ever coming out? 4 new images, Kieran? Or?
I think it has to come out, right? Like, skin suit Telltale needs a win, and I think The Expanse released and was so under the radar, and maybe a lot of people, you know, us including when we've discussed it in the past, were unaware when it actually came out. I think The Wolf Among Us Season 2 would be a massive hit and a massive way to get eyes on them and what they're doing with the company that they purchased.
I mean, I'm still excited to play it, so if it ever comes out. I really like the first game. So. You ever played this, did you, Ash?
No. I mean, it's always been on the wish list or backlog.
I reckon there's a show we could play it on.
Yeah, we'll get to it.
If we ever play another episode.
Yeah, we'll make it a story. We'll do like a lead up when they finally announce the release date.
What if it's a shadow drop that was fucked?
They're not going to shadow drop it. That'd be a fucking terrible idea. This isn't like fucking Fallout 4 or some shit. Like, this is just go.
What if you're like halfway through? What if they announce a release date and we're like, schedule wise, we would have to pause The Walking Dead to like.
The thing is, I think they would. I don't think we would, because I think we're only doing. I think my plan is like Walking Dead season one, and then we jump to Expanse and we just play the Expanse. And then
something that none of us have played.
Something that's none of us have played, and we've played the first thing that we've would got say.
No in, connection to.
Yeah.
At all. The TV show we would say.
Yeah. Like play the modern, like the first of what we think it, or I would consider is the modern day Telltale. And then skin play the skin suit first Telltale game, and we can compare them and talk about them fairly close to each other. I think is, yeah. It would be fun.
Anyway, follow us on twitch.tv/explosionnetwork for Story Experience Live.
Could be anytime.
You know?
I hope you didn't look at our Twitch schedule, because I just cancelled whatever I put in there the other day. I never tweeted anything out, but I did have it in the schedule.
I was not feeling it that night, and I think I was even going to pretend. Not pretend, but I was planning on doing something after we recorded today. I ain't. Sorry, everyone. We'll work on it.
We don't know plans to do it tonight.
No.
All right, finally, let's talk about what was shown during the Nintendo Indie World Showcase. Another 20-minute odd presentation. Obviously, Ash made the joke at the start of the show about Silksong. But really, how do we feel about that? So, everyone thought Silksong was going to show up here because it had it's been raided in Australia and some other places now. So everyone assumed it was going to be here. I know there was at least some evidence / fire, smoke where there's fire sort of scenario happening, but then nothing. So what do you reckon, Ash?
I mean, I think Silksong is big enough that it could just be its own reveal. Team Cherry just announces, hey, here's the release date. We'll show you more at something at some Games Fest. Or is that? I mean, because it's rated, I don't think it's going to be coming out straight away.
I don't know. I feel like that game could just shadow drop though. Like they could announce it in the showcase, just be like, finally out, everyone. Here you go.
It could. But yeah, in that case, I don't think anything till June.
June, eh? Karen?
I mean, June's the earliest.
I just think, I hope sooner rather than later, because I feel like we're running into the problem of the more time people expect it to be announced or expect to get something from it and it doesn't happen, eventually you lose that motivation and lose that kind of desire for the game to come out, and people just kind of go, just fucking put the game out already. So, I hope we do hear something on it sooner rather than later.
All right, so then they got Little Kitty Big City. I'm reading off Press Start here, by the way, for the thing. So this game is now coming out finally for Nintendo Switch, on platforms as well, May 9th. This is a game which you run around as a cat and cause havoc. So it's like...
Cool, game, they finally ported Stray.
I mean, kind of. I mean, I don't know. It's a very cute looking kitty game. I don't know.
It's untitled kitty game.
Pretty much. I don't really know what the point of the game is, but it does look like a good time.
It's like being a cat.
Looks like being a cat, yeah. That's true. Good point. SteamWorld Heist 2 was the end of the show thing that they show. It's coming out on August 8th. Obviously, SteamWorld Heist 1 was a big success within the SteamWorld franchise.
I don't think there's been a bad SteamWorld game.
Yeah, probably not. I can't think of one.
I haven't played all of them, but I believe the SteamWorld fans have been happy every time.
They've been eaten. Eaten.
Well, they had something different every time as well. You know, it's not.
Now, how about that build one? How did that build one go over well?
I think so. I mean, it was a pretty solid builder game. Okay. You know,
I feel like that's one I didn't remember hearing much about. But no, I can't see any raving. So you got SteamWorld Tower Defense was the Nintendo DSi game, was where the franchise actually started. That's wild. And then you get SteamWorld Dig, SteamWorld Heist, SteamWorld Dig 2, SteamWorld Quest Hand of Gilgamesh, SteamWorld Build, and now SteamWorld Heist 2.
Yeah. SteamWorld Build's got a 77 on OpenCritic, so.
Yeah, okay. Wow. Yeah, so have you played, you haven't played any of them?
I've dabbled, I think.
Which ones?
I think I played SteamWorld Dig from memory. Dig's good. I've tried a little bit of SteamWorld Heist.
Didn't like it? It feels like it's your sort of game, surely.
Yeah, I think I enjoyed it. I mean, it's like a side-on tactical game.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah, so.
Yeah, but it's like Worms.
Yeah, a little bit with, there's a lot of physics involved, it seems. Yeah. You know? Geometry.
Geometry. That's the word. Geometry.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know if I'll play, but
there's a pirate ship in this one. So I mean, what do you? Yeah.
You're in.
Yeah.
Europa got a. I don't know. Didn't get a release date. No, but it got a demo that's out. Downloaded it. Haven't played it. Love that for me. Do that quite a lot. But this is a game everyone reckons looks like Studio Ghibli. World and everything like that. I don't think it's.
I think they're using Studio Ghibli esque very liberally.
I mean, it looks cool, like art wise, but yeah, I don't know. Like, kinda, I guess. Like, I can see it, but like, not quite.
No. Ni No Kuni is.
Well, Ni No Kuni is literally stupid Studio Ghibli. Yeah. Like, that's the difference.
So. This is just animated.
Oh my god. I mean, this game, I don't really know. This game just looks like, what was that one that came out? Like, we just fucking, I played it. Pathfinder? No. Fucking, whatever. Just roaming around doing shit.
It's every single game ever.
Yeah, so I sold it. Anyway, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Splinter Fate. This game, which was originally on Apple Arcade, is now coming to Nintendo Switch as a time console exclusive in July. Are you excited, Ash, that you'll finally be able to play Hades but Ninja Turtles?
Oh, is this the Hades but Ninja Turtles?
This is Hades but Ninja Turtles, correct.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, came for this?
Yeah, if it was not on Nintendo Switch.
You'll be right, because it's a timed exclusive. So post-July, all right, so I can wait. You'll be able to play it on PlayStation eventually.
I'll just wait till then.
Yeah, me too, I think. It's cool it's coming, because I talked about it. And, yeah. You know, I did enjoy it. Like, I don't think it's...
The more stuff that is not trapped on Apple Arcade, the better.
No, come on, that one. It's fun, and obviously the thing I never really... The part I never got to try out in the game...
Was the co-op.
Was the co-op, and it's designed around playing it in co-op. So when it comes to PlayStation, we can actually just play it together. And then I might be able to finish the game, because I never finished the game. I just fucking... I get up to the last boss, Splinter would kick my ass, fucking...
God, you fight Splinter at the end?
Spoilers!
Oh,
can't believe.
You'll never guess the enemies you fight along the way. There's a rhino and someone's, yeah. Cat Quest 3, the cats are back.
Put some respect on Bebop and Rocksteady's names.
What do you reckon about this? The fact that there's... So Cat Quest 3, right? In the
How's this not out yet? I feel like we've seen so many trailers for this game.
We have. But the thing that shocks me the most is when you're watching this event and you link back, you go, so cat game, second one. It's also a cat pirate game.
Yeah.
Cats and pirates.
Yeah. I get, it's a good mix.
All the rage, apparently.
It's you know, pirate. It depends if you're which side of the pirates or ninjas.
There's just no originality left in video games, Kellen.
I feel
Did
like
you combine our names.
Yep.
You said
Kieran.
Dilrin. Dilrin is not a bad name, actually. I'd rock Dilrin.
That's like a Middle Earth name.
Hello, hark, Dilrin. Son of Boren.
Yes. Well, that was a nerdy joke. Sometimes I'm like, fucking hell.
Shut up.
It actually looks pretty fun, though. I'll be honest. I haven't played any of the other two Cut Crest games, but this one looks pretty cool and co-op and everything. So, you know, I won't play it, but.
At least you're honest.
I'm just being honest, you know. I can say a lot of things look cool, but, you know, there's only so many time in the in life. Then they showed Yars Warring. It's a Metroidvania.
Yars Queen.
Yars
Queen. Yars.
It looks kind of cool. From like the art style and everything is very 90s hard lines art style. I don't know. Kind of cool. But sci-fi. Mm. Cool. Valley Peaks. So this is a rock climbing game. In first person. Where you play as a... I don't know. What do you play as? What is it? It's supposed to be a crab?
Frog?
Frog?
It says frog in the description, so...
Frog, okay, there you go. So you play as a frog. First person rock climbing game where you play as a fucking frog. Why not, you know? I got to be honest, this I do want to play just because it looks so fucking weird. There's a part in the trailer where he like punches a duck, I think. So,
you know? Understandable.
Yeah, totally fair. I think it's a tie-in to Untitled Goose Game. So. Sticky Business? No, not that kind, Kieran. It's a game in which you put stickers in things. It's out now. This came out PC, I believe, already. So now yep. Now it's out on Switch. So
it's on Switch.
Play it there. Lorelei and the Laser Eyes, which I still think is a great name for a video game. Just some things are fun to say. Lorelei and Laser Eyes. So it's kind of cool. It's coming from Simongo. The people who did Sayonara Wild Hearts. So this is nothing like Sayonara Wild Hearts, though.
No. That seemed like it was very action-heavy. This is like a very slow
puzzle game. Like a slow, methodical puzzle game where there's like hundreds of puzzles and it's in a hotel. It's black and white. And Sayonara Wild Hearts was a music fucking...
Music ultra
motorcycle cyberpunk game. So very different, but looks cool. Looks very, very, very unique. Very like PS1-y. I don't know. You know, creepy Silent Hill shit. I don't know. Fucking looks cool. I'm keen. Stitch is a puzzle game in which you're stitching stuff together. I guarantee this is cool. gonna be some people's shit.
This seems like the video game version of like the paint by numbers. Kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, that's it. It's like paint by
that. Apparently, is back. Is there's adult versions of those things now, which makes sense because there's adult coloring books and that kind of stuff. But yeah,
see,
yeah, I mean, that seems like it. This seems like it'll hit that same
itch. Yeah,
part of people's brain. Yeah,
so that's kind of cool. Then you've got Anton Blast, which is a very weird. What the fuck? I don't know how to describe this.
I mean, this looks like a 90s mascot platformer.
Yeah. It looks like, it's weird this has come back because I don't know if I ever talked about it. Well, I think I did briefly. I played that pizza tower thing, you know, very like throwbacky. This same sort of 90s throwback art style and fast paced platforming and everything. Weird. It's come back. Refined Self, the personality test game. I don't know what the fuck this is.
Looks like some JRPG visual novel bullshit.
This looks like some visual novel anime Japanese bullshit. I don't know. I have no idea. Anyway, Animal World. Yep. Comes out May 9th, finally. I'm keen for this. Every time I see it, looks cool. Feels like I've been watching Charles for this for 21 years. So, anyway.
It's coming everywhere, right?
Yeah, it's coming everywhere. But
it's coming to PS Plus, I believe.
I don't remember that part, but... But if it is, cool. Another Crab's Treasure comes out April 25th. You know, you're a crab. It's a Souls game. He's lost his shell. Go find it. It's a real crustacean. Then you got Shwim.
Shim.
I was trying to work out, am I saying that right? Shim. Yeah, Shim. Yeah. That'd be right.
Does this come out already?
No, this hasn't come out. So it's finally coming out July 18th. This is a game that they showed. It hasn't come out because I would have played it. Because this is the one where it's a platformer, but you got to bounce between shadows. I remember the first time they showed the trailer. I can't remember where they first showed the trailer, but I remember we talked about it on here and you and I both.
It's got to be. That
looked cool. So.
Game Awards or something.
I think it was like Game Awards or something. But yeah, I'm keen to play this, obviously. It's really unique. Premise, everything. Well, actually, really, I mean, it's a platformer to a degree. Not unique, but the shadowy thing is unique, I think.
Yeah.
Then we got Duck Detective. I think this is the best game that they showed, personally.
Yes.
It's a game in which you play as a cardboard cutout of a duck. He's a detective.
I think it's just a duck.
I know, everyone looks like cardboard cutouts in this to me, so. Just saying. You play as a duck. True. And you got to figure out, you know, did someone's lunch get stolen?
Who stole the salami?
That's right.
And where did they put it?
That's damn right. This comes out May 23rd and may be my most anticipated release of the next month.
Yep.
I'm not even joking. I don't know. What else is next month? Duck Detective, the Secret Salami. Can't wait. Then we got Bzzzt. Sorry, that wasn't a bug in your headphones. That was a video game title. It's a retro throwback platformer, dashing and wall jump.
Looks like if Mega Man and Celeste had a baby.
Yeah, it looks like a buddy game is what it looks like. I see a bunch of parts in this trailer where they're like dashing off shit.
But with like a... got some spaceship, like
maybe that's the part where he's like, I don't want to play these spaceship levels.
Bullshit.
Just let me play the fucking platforming. He's like, too much. I'm like, I can't play
Gallagher.
This
it's Gallagher the one that's
no Gallagher's like, isn't it? Oh, maybe it is Gallagher. Maybe you're right. Take my video game card, nerds.
Yeah, Gallagher's the spaceship kind of, sort of. Not quite, but close.
Yeah. We'll let it go.
Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to pick my favorite thing, definitely Duck Detective. A little bit disappointing there was no Silk Song, but anyway, we live in up there. I presume. Well, I mean, really, we're about to. Yeah, what are we? A week and a half away from. We're a week and a half away from May. Basically puts us very close to June. So I guess saying that that's not showing up to June may be a thing. Maybe a thing. All right, that'll do it for this week's episode of Arcade Couch. Let us know any comments, questions, concerns, your things, comments, questions, concerns, I'm on repeat, that you've had about this week's episode by going to Discord, exposurenetwork.com/Discord, our Twitter page, exposurenetwork.com/Twitter. Say hi to us at DreamHack. If you like this episode and you want to support us, head on over to explosionnetwork.com/support. It takes you to our Ko-fi page. Buy us a coffee. Buy us a coffee for DreamHack. Until next week, same time, same couch. We'll see you there. Goodbye.